afternoon. We'll be looking at a new book in the Minor Prophets series today, the book of Micah. And our text for today is taken from Micah chapter 1, verses 1 to 16. Micah chapter 1, verses 1 to 16. And I shall read it for you. Micah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Micah the Moreshite in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters they are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore I will make Samaria as an heap of the field, and as plantings of a vineyard, and I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the highest thereof shall be burned with the fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. For she gathered it of the hire of an harlot, and they shall return to the hire of an harlot. Therefore I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked, I will make a wailing like the dragons, and mourning as the owls. For her wound is incurable, for it is come unto Judah, he is come unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. Declare it, declare ye it not at Gath, weep ye not at all. In the house of Aphra, roll thyself in the dust. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Sapphia, having thy shame naked. The inhabitant of Zaanan came not forth in the morning of Bethesel. He shall receive of you his standing. For the inhabitant of Maroth waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem. O thou inhabitant of Lachish, bind the chariot to the swift beast. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion, for the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. Therefore shalt thou give presents to Moreshethgath, and the houses of Achzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. Yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitant of Mareshah. He shall come unto Adullam, the glory of Israel, make thee bold, and pull thee for thy delicate children, enlarge thy boldness as the eagle, for they are gone into captivity from thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Eternal Father, Almighty God, you have given us life more abundant in Jesus Christ our Lord. Once we were without life, dead in trespasses and sin, without help and without hope. But your grace was exceeding abundant with love which is in Christ Jesus. To you we owe this life. Only one life till soon be past. Only what's done for thee will last. To you, our God, we give back this life to study your word, so that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in his most precious name that we pray. Amen. Here is the word camera. Can you think of puns related to the word camera? How about we'll see what develops? Picture this. Doesn't this pun make you shudders? A pun is a play on words. This play on words attracts a listener's attention. Micah used puns in his writing. His puns are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they emphasize a message of doom. But as we are studying the book of Micah for the first time, let us first look at Roman numeral 1, Micah's person and prophecy. Micah's person and prophecy. Letter A, his origin. His origin. Have you heard of deviled ham? Deviled ham is ground ham with added spices such as hot sauce, cayenne pepper, hot peppers, or mustard. How did deviled ham come about? Well, here's the relevant conversation. Teacher, this Bible story tells how Jesus cast out demons from a possessed man and sent him into a herd of pigs. Student, that is how we got deviled ham. Just kidding. The history of this meat spread actually has roots in the 19th century and has long been a staple for some families. A newspaper article explains that deviled foods are usually red hot dishes, highly seasoned with spices or tangy condiments. That is the origin of deviled ham. But we know very little about the origin of Micah the prophet. We do know that he was a Moreshite, chapter 1, verse 1. This means that his hometown was Moresheth Gath. See chapter 1, verse 14, and Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 18. A village of Judah near the Philistine city of Gath. Letter B, his era. His era. Micah ministered sometime about 735 to 700 BC. And Hosea, Amos, Isaiah, and Jonah were his contemporaries. Micah prophesied during the reigns of three of Judah's kings, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, chapter 1, verse 1. Years later, in the days of Jeremiah, the elders, quoting from Micah, chapter 3, verse 12, argued that King Hezekiah had not put Micah to death. Therefore, the priests, prophets, and people should not put Jeremiah to death either. Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 8, and verses 17 to 19. Let us see his book. His book. Micah chapter 1, verse 1 reads, "The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moreshite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem." Micah's prophecy concerns both Samaria and Jerusalem. Chapter 1, verse 1. Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. The two capital cities represent their countries as a whole. And Micah demonstrated that the southern kingdom was just as sinful as the northern kingdom. The word of the Lord came to Micah in three segments, each beginning with the command to hear. Chapter 1, verse 2 to chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 1 to chapter 5, verse 15. And chapter 6, verse 1 to chapter 7, verse 20. Micah reminded God's people that sin leads to discipline and that God expected his people to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with him. Chapter 6, verse 8. Judgment and future restoration are the book's major themes, with the message of hope for a righteous remnant appearing in each segment of the book. Chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 7, chapter 5, verses 7 to 8, and chapter 7, verse 18. Otherwise, it is a message of doom. Micah provided some splendid examples of messianic prophecy. He foretold the exact birthplace of the Messiah, chapter 5, verse 2, cross-reference to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 5 to 6. And Jesus quoted from Micah to show that his first coming will bring about divisions. Chapter 7, verse 6, cross-reference with Matthew, chapter 10, verses 35 to 36. Micah looked beyond the collapse of Israel and Judah to the incarnation of Christ and even further into the future by describing the millennial reign of Christ. Now, let us look at the book of Micah proper. Roman numeral 2, Micah's lament over destruction. Micah's lament over destruction. And letter A, approaching destruction. Approaching destruction. This is in Micah chapter 1, verses 2 to 7. A bumper sticker reads, "Down with bumper stickers." Self-destructing sticker. Similarly, Micah spoke of destruction, not self-destruction, but the approaching destruction of Israel and Judah. At the start of the first segment of the book, Micah portrayed a court in session. Micah chapter 1 verses 2 to 5 reads, "Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth of his place, and will come down, and tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters they are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem?" Who are the jury, the witness for the prosecution, and the co-defendants in this court case? The jury is the peoples of the earth. The Lord is the witness for the prosecution. The co-defendants are Israel and Judah. Micah was confident that the jurors would render a guilty verdict after they had heard the Lord's testimony. He pictured the Lord as entering the courtroom from his holy temple in heaven. God's presence was so overwhelming that Micah depicted him as walking from one mountain summit to another, all in a single step. Verse 3. As a result, the mountaintops melted like wax before fire and cascaded like water poured down a slope. Verse 4. Here, Micah hinted at God's judgment against the pagan altars or high places that stood on many of the hilltops of Israel and Judah. Verse 5. Picture yourself in a courtroom, peering through a window to catch sight of the Lord arriving, as Micah described in verses 3 to 4. How do you think the Lord's arrival would affect you? The northern kingdom and its capital on Samaria would experience judgment first, verses 6 to 7, and Judah would follow, verses 8 to 16. Samaria fell to the Assyrians in 722 BC after an appalling 3-year siege. 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 to 18. And Micah accurately predicted that the city would be completely demolished even to its foundation. Micah chapter 1, verse 6. The Assyrians would take away the idols of Samaria and beat them into pieces. Verse 7. The worship of Baal, a popular fertility god, sometimes included quote and unquote sacred prostitution. The so-called worshippers paid a temple official for illicit relations with the temple harlots, and these payments filled the temple treasury. Micah foretold that Assyrians would burn this ill-gotten gain and then use the currency as payment for their own temple prostitutes. Verse 7. Not only do we have approaching destruction, we have, letter B, prophetic lament. Prophetic lament. This is in Micah chapter 1, verses 8 to 16. Micah lamented over the prospect of Samaria's certain destruction. Micah moaned at the prospect of Samaria's certain destruction. Micah chapter 1, verse 8 reads, "Therefore I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked, I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls." How did Micah plan to mourn for Samaria? Micah planned to mourn naked and like a dragon and an owl. Micah compared his wailing to that of the dragons, which might also be translated jackals. He compared his mourning to that of the owls. The jackal is a nocturnal scavenger, and the owl is a nocturnal bird. Both dwell in desolate places. Micah referred to nakedness because it was a sense of intense sorrow. See 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30. Now, why did he mourn so dramatically? Micah felt the hopelessness of Samaria as well as the sadness of knowing that the destruction of God's people was coming. To be more specific, Micah's mourning was for two reasons. See verse 9. First, Samaria's judgment was unavoidable. It was like an incurable wound. Second, judgment would spread to the south so that it would come to the gate of Jerusalem. Verse 12. This prophecy was fulfilled in 701 BC when the Assyrians overwhelmed Judah. Jerusalem itself almost capitulated. But for the time being, the city survived. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 34 to 37. Micah mentioned a number of villages in chapter 1, verses 10 to 15. It seems he selected these place names for two reasons. First, they were all located near his hometown of Moresheth-Gath. Second, the names of the villagers allowed Micah to string together creative puns. The prophet began with the command, "Declare ye it not at Gath," verse 10. David spoke these same words in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20, when he did not want the Philistines of Gath to rejoice over Saul's death and defeat. Similarly, Micah did not want the citizens of Gath to revel over a serious onslaught against Judah. Another point of interest comes in that Gath sounds somewhat similar to the first part of the Hebrew word for declare. Micah called on those who lived in the house of Aphra or Beth Aphra, a village belonging to Judah, to roll themselves in the dust. Verse 10. Aphra means dust, and rolling in dust or ashes was a visible gesture of extreme sorrow. See Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 34. The people of Sapphia were to pass by in naked shame. Micah chapter 1, verse 11. Micah drew a contrast because the word Sapphia means beautiful, but the villagers' inhabitants would endure public disgrace. Those who live in Zaanan were not to come forth from the city walls because the Assyrians would be encamped against them. Verse 11. Micah again developed a contrast, since Zeanan means going out. Micah referred to the mourning of Bethizel in verse 11. Bethizel means house of closeness or nearness. The commanders of Judah's army would desperately need a place close by to make a defensive stand. But Bethizel would not provide such a place. In Maroth, the people will wait for good news of Judah's advancing army, but none would come. Verse 12. Instead, the Assyrians would advance right to the gates of the capital city itself. Maroth means bitterness, and the Marothites would experience the meaning of their town's name since disaster would come down from the Lord. The city of Lachish was famed for horses. And Micah called on its citizens to make ready a chariot with swift horses. Chapter 1, verse 13. Lachish sounds somewhat like the Hebrew word for team, and it required a team of horses to pull a speeding chariot. Lachish inspired the rest of Judah, referred to here as the daughter of Zion. Lachish inspired the rest of Judah to sin. Judah would give gifts to Moresheth Gath, much like an Israelite father gave a betrothal gift to his daughter when he gave her away in marriage. Verse 14. Moresheth Gath means possession of Gath, and Judah would give the village to Assyria as a possession. The houses of Akzib will be a lie to the kings of Israel. Akzib means lie or deception. And indeed, the residents of that village would become deceitful. The fleeing Israelite kings and their troops would presume to find sanctuary in the village, but the people would refuse them shelter. Micah promised that God would bring an heir to the town of Marisha. Verse 15. Marisha means inheritance, and it will be inherited by its new heir, Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Micah brought poetic closure to the workplace of the laments by ending as he started. The prophet again alluded to David by referring to Adullam, which means refuge. Just as David once sought refuge in the cave of Adullam in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, so the glory of Israel, a reference to the nation's leaders, the glory of Israel, will seek refuge in the village of Adullam. Why did God want Micah to use puns to share the prophecy of a serious invasion of Judah? Perhaps he wanted the prophecy to be memorable. Micah began the lament in Micah chapter 1, verse 8, by speaking of his own mourning. And he ended it by inviting all the parents of Judah to join him in verse 16. Micah chapter 1, verse 16 reads, make thee bold, and pose thee for thy delicate children, enlarge thy boldness as the eagle, for they are gone into captivity from thee. In what manner did Micah want all the parents of Judah to mourn? He wanted them to cut off all their hair. Who was to be the focus of their mourning? Their children. Micah's person and prophecy, and Micah's laments over destruction. In particular, In Micah chapter 1 verse 7, the Assyrians will take away the idols of Samaria and beat them into pieces. Today, we might not have idols in Heritage Baptist Church, though there are plenty in the Roman Catholic Church. Yet we are exhorted to keep ourselves from idols. 1 John chapter 5 verse 21 says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. Covetousness, says the Apostle Paul, is idolatry. Colossians chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." So covetousness is idolatry, and it also has an image. It is the dollar sign. A church that looks to riches and not the Lord God commits idolatry. Are we at Heritage Baptist Church looking to riches and not the Lord God? Are we at Heritage Baptist Church looking to riches and not the Lord God?